We're going to talk for a few minutes about a topic that I was going to speak about on Wednesday night, but we had Brother Chris McCray show up, and wasn't that a blessing? Brother Chris is always such a blessing. He's setting on go. And so I'm going to pick that up tonight. I'm going to share a little bit on that tonight. Leading into that, yesterday we went to, me and my family went to Hot Springs, and we were there for a wedding, to be a part of a wedding there at Garvin Gardens. How many of you ever been at Garvin? Woodland Gardens or whatever that is. Where they have all the lights out over there. Well, we went up there and we were involved in a wedding, and we wanted to go see the lights. They're pretty amazing lights if you've never been there. I don't know how many lights. There's millions of lights out there. It's just a beautiful display. But we after we got through with the wedding, it was still daylight. And so we said, well, we'll just go and grab something to eat, and we'll come back a little bit later and we'll go and tour the lights, and then we'll come on home. So we went and we got something to eat and ran by a little store, and we came back, and on our way back, I didn't think we were really close yet, but I started seeing brake lights. And then I began to notice we came to a standstill, and I saw that we were in a line of traffic. How many of you like lines of traffic? And I was thinking, man, I wonder what's going on. And Jillian said, I think everybody wants to see the Christmas lights. And I said, oh no. Because we had made a commitment. You ever made a commitment? That we're going to see the Christmas lights. And so if you're anything like me, when you get in a traffic jam or you come to a standstill, you begin to wonder how long this thing is. How long is it going to last? Is there anything I can do to get this thing moving? I wonder how far it is and how long it's going to take me to be there. You know, when I first moved, graduated from SAU Tech, and I moved out to my to live with my parents in Dallas. My first job there after leaving Ouachita County, which I had never driven really outside of Ouachita County, I went to Bible school and I went to work for a guy. And my job was, he handed me a Mapsco. There was no GPS back then, nothing like that. There was a map of Dallas that was about this thick. It was a book. And my job every day was to spend 5 hours driving all over the Metroplex picking up parts for our business. And I was 18 years old, and so I spent a lot of time in traffic jams. Well, back then, you'd turn on the radio to find out what was going on, or you would rubberneck, or sometimes people would get out of their cars, right, and walk down to see what's going on. Have you ever done any of those things? Why is that? Because we don't like to be delayed. We don't like to wait. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our makeup. When things slow down or things come to a stop, we want to know why they have stopped and what is the problem with this delay. You know, so we got in that traffic jam last night, and so we were there and we were inching along and we were inching along and we were inching along. And so I got out my phone and I mapped it. I mapped it from where we were to where the parking lot, and it was 2.4 miles. 2.4 miles. I mapped it again 45 minutes later, and we only had 1.4 miles to go. How many of you know we're not real good at waiting? So during this time, as you can imagine, begin to think about ways we might be able to get out of this and do it on another day. But we didn't. We stuck it out. But not everybody stuck it out, because you know what? The wait got to be too long, and some people begin to bail out. Some people began to turn around and begin to leave. And where they were headed is not where they wound up, because the delay changed their mind. How many of you know in our lives, in our spiritual lives, in our walk with the Lord, it can be much the same way? In our lives, when we're striving for something and we're reaching for something and we're believing God for something, or we're on a journey somewhere and we're intending to go there and we believe it's of God for us to get there, and things begin to slow down or seemingly stop, how many of you know if we don't hear from God, we can start to bail out? Because the enemy wants to stop us, and he wants to discourage us so that he can defeat us and so that he can take us off of course and so that we don't arrive where God intends for us to be. So it's real important that we understand that there are going to be seasons of delay. And so I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight on dealing with delay. Now, I'm not talking about at the cash register or at the red light. I read somewhere the other day that said that we will spend 6 months of our lives sitting at red lights. I mean, no, that's good. 5 years of our life, we will spend waiting in line somewhere. How many of you know Amazon's trying to help us out on that? Have y'all seen? We don't like to wait in this society, right? We like microwave everything. Pop it in the microwave, 30 seconds, it's done. Amazon now is delivering. We were down with my sisters in Houston on Thanksgiving, and in 20 metropolitan areas across the United States, if you ordered online, they delivered to your house within 2 hours. The guy that started FedEx was told that you could never do overnight delivery, and now they're down to 2-hour delivery. And now what their promise is with drone delivery, they'll be able to deliver at certain places throughout the United States within the next 2 years and 30 minutes. So deliver your package. So you ladies will be excited about that. You can click and then open your door and there it is. Don't we wish that was the way it was with God? But it don't always work that way. So what I want to talk to you about tonight is how do we deal with delay? Because the way we deal with delay will determine whether or not we reach our destination. It will determine whether we reach our destination. If we start bailing out, if we start giving up, if we start getting frustrated and we don't understand where we're at and what's going on, then the enemy can get a foothold and he can overcome. Hosea 4:6 says this, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." It's so important for us to understand when we get going towards a place that God has called us to be and we encounter a delay. Listen, it's very important that we understand what is the root of the delay. Where does the delay come from? Now, delay can come from a number of different areas, but I want to quickly mention three, and then I want to spend the last few minutes tonight talking about the fourth one, which is really what's more on my heart. So why the delay? Do we have that on the screen? Yeah, and it's cut off. That's good. That was my fault. How many of you know that if you have a key and you try to put it in a lock and it's not the right key, it doesn't matter how hard you twist it, it's not going to open that lock. You've got to have the right key. When it comes to dealing with delay in our lives and we get frustrated or we don't understand, how many of you know it's important that we do what Brother Jerry said this morning is we get alone with God and we hear from God about what would be causing this delay in our life. Because when we know the truth, how many of you know the truth sets us free? First reason for delay. Why the delay? Number one, sometimes the delay can be because of our disobedience. Anybody in here besides me ever disobeyed your parents, disobeyed God, disobeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit? Anybody ever done that? Have you ever disobeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, either knowingly or unknowingly, and it caused a delay in your life? Remember in the book of Joshua, as the children of Israel were going into the promised land, they were going to the destination of the promised land. It's where God said to go. It's what God had covenanted with them and promised them that would be theirs. It's where he was calling them to be. Remember the first city they got there and they did what God said. They went up to Jericho, the mighty walls, and they obeyed God. And when they obeyed God, what happened? They had a great victory and the line moved and they kept going towards what God was calling them to. But how many of you know in the very next city, the great victory they had just won at Jericho, they experienced just as great a defeat in the next city? And the reason why they were delayed, why they didn't have the victory, why they came to a standstill was because someone had failed to obey God. Sometimes in our lives when we sit down, we just need to hear from God. God, is there something in my life? Is there something the Holy Spirit spoken to me? Is there some directive you've given me in your word that I'm failing to obey? How many of you know anything God asks us to do is for our good? We don't give rules and we don't give directives to our kids because we don't love them. We give those things to them because we want them to get there. Can you say amen? Sometimes in our lives, we're delayed because of our own disobedience. Isaiah 1:19 says this, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you keep turning away and refusing to listen, you will be destroyed by your enemies, and I, the Lord, have spoken." So if we find out in our life, has anybody in here, let's just have confessional, have you ever found that things were at a standstill in your life because you were disobedient to the Lord or disobedient to something he had said in his word? So what's the way, what do you do to deal with that? What do is when we recognize it, we repent before the Lord. And how many of you know that his grace is sufficient? So when we see areas of our life that are out of kilter, that are not in obedience to the Lord, we repent, we get God's grace on our situation. How many of you know the line will begin to move? I was sitting still last night and I was thinking, my goodness. And then finally it would begin to move. How many know that's a good feeling when things begin to move again? So sometimes we're delayed through disobedience. Number two, sometimes we're delayed by disbelief. Sometimes we're delayed by disbelief. Remember, a whole generation of the Israelite ancestors didn't even cross the Jordan and come into their promised land because they did not believe that God would do what he said he would do. Remember, the 12 spies went over there to spy it out. And when they came back, 10 of them did not believe that God was going to fulfill the promise that he had made to them. How many of you know that when Jesus went back to Nazareth, he had been all over the place healing the sick and restoring people and healing the blind and doing all those things. The scripture says that when he got to his own home city, he could not do many mighty miracles there. He couldn't bring people to where he wanted them to be. He couldn't bring them from sickness to wholeness, from need to prosperity. Because of why? Because they were being held up by their disbelief. And sometimes in our lives, it's not because we're not going the right direction, and it's not because we're not looking at the right things, but it's because we just flat don't believe God. In James 1, 6 and 7, it says, let us ask in faith with no doubting, for we who doubt are like the waves of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that person suppose that they will receive anything from the Lord. So sometimes in our life, we might not be moving forward into our promised land because of the fact that we have a lack of faith. And we're delayed by the doubt or the disbelief in our life. And so what's the remedy for that? The remedy for disobedience is repentance. The remedy for disbelief is repentance. But it's what? It's to get in the Word and get God's Word on our situation and get out of a heart of doubt and get into a heart of faith where we can believe God and begin moving again. Number three, another reason why we meet with delays in our life sometimes is that we're delayed by darkness. And I'm not talking about the sun going down. I'm talking about our adversary, the devil. Sometimes the delay in our life comes from the enemy. The Bible tells us clearly that we have an enemy who roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. But the enemy is there to try to impede that from coming to pass in our life. He is there to steal, kill, and destroy from us in our lives. You remember in the book of Daniel, when Daniel began to pray and began to intercede and inquire of God, the scripture says in Daniel chapter 10 that the angel said to Daniel, greatly loved of God, listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I've been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling with fear. And he said, don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. How many of you know God heard and God was at work, but the delay that was going on there was because there was spiritual warfare that was taking place. There was spiritual warfare that was taking place. And how many of you know that we can't grow weary in well-doing because in due season we'll reap if we do not faint? But Daniel continued to pray and Daniel continued to seek God. And God sent what? He sent reinforcements. And how many of you know the victory came? But the delay in his particular circumstance this time was because the enemy was trying to prevent God's victory from coming. So why is there the delay in our lives? Do you think it's important for us to understand why the delay? What's the holdup? What may be keeping us from getting where it is that we're trying to go in God? Because if we don't have the right key and we don't have the right understanding, frustration can set in. We can begin to point fingers in the wrong direction. How many of you have ever found yourself thinking that God wasn't doing his part? And we begin to question why things aren't happening. But we need to understand what are the root causes of the delay. So delayed by disobedience, delayed by disbelief, or delayed by darkness. And what's the answer for that? Fight, right? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, recognizing that our battle is not with flesh and blood. Is that hard to remember? Is that hard to walk out? That our battle is not with people. Our battle is with the forces of darkness and with the kingdom of darkness. But aren't you thankful that we can stand clothed in the full armor of God? Aren't you thankful tonight that we have authority and we have power because Jesus has given it unto us? Aren't you thankful that He's the head and we're the body? That Satan is under His feet, and because of that, he's under our feet. And how many of you know that the devil can try to hold it up, but if we stand firm in the promises of God, he can't keep it from coming to pass? In Jesus' name. Then number four. This is the one I want to talk about for the last 10 or 12 minutes, is delayed by the divine. If you will notice, these are all D's. I had to come up with D's. Delayed by the divine. Delayed by the divine. There will be times in our lives when God Himself steps in and says that there has to be a season of waiting in our lives. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this: to everything there is a season. Everybody say, there's a season. And a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, break down and to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. And I would say that in looking at the totality of the Word of God, I don't think we would be amiss to say that there's also a time to wait. Sometimes we are going to encounter waiting seasons in our life, and we don't like to wait. But if you look at God's word, there's not a person who did things for God who did not go through waiting seasons in their life. And how many know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? 43 times in the Old Testament alone, we are instructed to wait on the Lord. And He's a good Father. And how many of you that are parents in here tonight have ever encountered situations with your children that for their good and for their benefit and to be a blessing to them, you said, no, not yet. No, not yet. No, I'm not giving you the keys to the car yet. But the car will get me there faster. The car is a blessing. Yeah, but it's not the time for you to have the keys to the car. I know you want to go out with this girl or this boy, but 12 years old is not the time, right? Just trust me. Have you ever had to tell your kids that? Do you remember your parents telling you that? Because I said so. And at times we couldn't understand. And there's many times our children don't understand us. But how many of you know that as parents, we see a bigger picture? There is a greater perspective from our viewpoint and from where we're standing than what they can see and what they can understand. And it's no different for us with our Father in heaven. We have to understand sometimes we're not disobeying Him. Sometimes it's not the enemy. Sometimes we're not even in doubt. Sometimes we're obeying and we're in faith and we're overcoming. And guess what? Still there's a season of waiting. God is a good Father, and He knows what we have need of. So why does God have us to wait? I would say because God knows that the process is just as important as the destination. See, what the journey or this season of waiting is working in us makes us ready for where it is that we're trying to go. In 2 Peter 3, 8, 9, the scripture says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And I love this. It says, the Lord is not slow. Everybody say, God is not slow. Sometimes it feels like this line is moving slow. Why is it moving slow? The scripture says that God is not slow in keeping His promise. Aren't you thankful that we can trust God? We can trust His timing. We can trust that there is a time and a season for everything in God. It says that some understand slowness. But how many of you know that God works on a different timetable than we do? He is on a different timetable than we are. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. But can we trust Him in it? Can we trust Him in it? I heard a joke one time, and I may have shared this before, but I don't remember. It goes like this. It says, a banker read this verse that we just read once and was quite amazed by it. So he asked the Lord, he said, if 1,000 years for us is like one day for you, then 100 years for us must seem just like 1 minute to you. And the Lord said, yes, that's right. Well, the banker said, well, $1,000,000 to us must seem like just a penny to you. And the Lord said, yes, but what's your point? The banker said, well, Lord, would you give me one of those pennies? And the Lord said, all right, I will. Wait here just 1 minute. See, our problem is we want God's blessing, but we don't want his timing. So the last 9 minutes here, I want to quickly mention to you, what do we do, or what is happening when God says to wait in our lives during the season of waiting? When we understand what's going on, it makes it a lot easier to walk it out many times. God wants to eliminate frustration and bring us into a place of confidence that we know in whom we have believed, and we are fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Number one, when God says wait, or letter A, there's always a purpose behind it. Everybody say purpose. God is not holding the bone in front of the dog just to torture the dog. If God is having us wait, he's doing it with a greater purpose in mind than maybe we are able to see. Remember the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11? This to me is an amazing verse, but it really proves this point, or it creates this point. Let me read you this text. John chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary," his sister's Mary and his sister Martha. "It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." Verse 3 in John 11, it says, "Therefore the sisters sent to Jesus saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" Now, this scripture says that Jesus loved Lazarus. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Yes. Verse 4, "When Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" Verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." It's making a point that Jesus loved them. Jesus knew their need. Jesus knew what they were asking. And this is what this verse says in verse 6. "So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was." Isn't that an amazing verse? Don't you think many times in our lives we think, "God, if you really loved me, you would do what I'm asking, how I'm asking you to do it, and when I'm asking you to do it." But this scripture is making so clear that Jesus loved Lazarus, and he loved Mary, and he loved Martha. And the scripture says he knew some things. He saw the bigger picture. There was a bigger plan of God that was at work than what they could understand. And they were doing what was right. They were calling on the name of Jesus. They were looking to the one who had the answer to their problems. They were facing a dire situation, and they were seeking God. And the scripture says because he loved them, he stayed 2 more days. Now, how do you think that they felt during those 2 days when that delay was going on? "I thought Jesus loved us. I thought Jesus would do anything for us. I thought Jesus would be here just as quick as he could run here." But the scripture said that God knew some things that they did not know. He knew that that sickness was not unto death, and that that situation was going to be intervened by his Father's hand, and it was going to bring great glory to God. In John 11:32, it says, "When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him," this is when Jesus showed up, "she fell down at his feet saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. If you would have come when I asked you to come, if you would have moved on my timetable, then things would have turned out all right. Have we ever been guilty of feeling that way? See, the enemy would like for us to believe that just because things don't happen when we think that they should, that God's not aware, that God's not around, that God's not able, and that God's not active in our situation. But how many of you know all those things are lies of the enemy? We are children of God. His covenant promises are working on our behalf. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus and we ask him in faith, believing, how many of you know that he's aware and he's around and he's active and he's working all things together for our good? And that the time of waiting, although it's very difficult and not easy to understand, in this particular case, it was for a far greater purpose. In John 11:37-39, it says, "Some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man from dying?' Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Let me see, say that, read that verse again. It says, Jesus once more was deeply moved. How many of you know he deeply cares about each and every one of us? He's compassionate and he's loving. He said, take away the stone. He said, but Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Do you think she was counting the days in the delay? God, I ask you, it's been a day. It's been 2 days. It's been 3 days. It's too late now. Things stink, God. If you would have moved on my timetable, but it's too late now. If you would have came when I called. And the scripture says this in verse 43. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. How many know Jesus wasn't late? How many know that Jesus was there and did what needed to be done? And this is what the scripture says, verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in him. How many of you know God had greater purposes at work? Not only was he going to take care of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, but he was working to glorify the name of the Lord in that whole community. When God says, wait, let her be. I'm going to close with this. I'm just going to call them out to you and you can read these scriptures later. Sometimes God's involved in the delay in our lives. Let her be. Sometimes when God says, wait, it's because there's lessons to be learned in it. Sometimes there's lessons to be learned. Anybody besides me got things you need to learn? Things that we need to learn. That's why James tells us this, that we can count it all joy when we fall into various trials, because we know the testing. We don't like testing, but testing is the gateway to promotion. The testing of our faith produces patience. And the scripture says, let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I'm going to call these out before we close. Three lessons that we can learn in the waiting season. Sometimes we're waiting because God says it's time to wait. Sometimes God is working things in us that are preparing us for where we're trying to go. Sometimes it's not because we doubt God or we've disobeyed God or the enemy is keeping it from us. Sometimes God is helping us get there on his timeline according to his plan for us, so that when we get there, his perfect will be accomplished. Number one, the first lesson that we can learn in the waiting season is this. Waiting on God requires absolute trust. When God says, wait, when I had to tell, I don't call names because that embarrasses them. When my youngest child says, Dad, are we ever going to get there? Are we going to make it? Are we going to see the lights? I say, yes, we're going to make it. Just what? Trust me. Sometimes in the middle of our delay, what God is doing in us is he's bringing us to deeper levels of trust. There's nothing else that we can put our hope in. There's nothing else that we can grab onto. And as David said in Psalms 25, oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. We learn to trust God in deeper ways in the waiting season. Number two, the second lesson we can learn in the waiting season is this. Waiting on God will humble us. Waiting on God reminds me that we are not in charge. That it's not about us. We begin to learn how to pray those prayers like Jesus or that John the Baptist prayed. He must increase and I must decrease. He must become greater and greater and I become less and less. We're not in charge. We don't dictate to God. God is God. And it's in those waiting seasons that we learn to humble ourselves and say, God, we want your will and we want it your way and we want it in your time. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And then the third lesson that we learn in the waiting season, as I close, you guys can start some music, is that in the waiting season, God will change us. In the waiting season, God will change us. We're challenged in the wait. we're challenged in ways in the weight. It's because it's like we're squeezed in the weight. And when we're squeezed, what's inside is going to come out, right? Attitudes, thought processes, belief systems. And when God allows the delay to squeeze us, and He begins to expose things to us that need to change. How many of you know He's not doing that to harm us? He's doing it so that we can be conformed into the image of His Son. How many of you know God wants to work change in our life? God wants to work change in our life. So tonight, before we're dismissed, just close your eyes real quick. We're at the end. I just feel like that there's some in here tonight. This is not everybody. But you've been in a season of waiting in your life. In a particular area, in a particular circumstance. That you were on a journey and somehow that journey has come to a crawl or has come to a standstill. And you've been at a point where some of those people in front of us were at last night, and I was real close to being there too, and that was doing a U-turn and just abandoning the destination altogether. And God doesn't want you to give up, and He doesn't want you to give in. And tonight I just believe that God wants to speak to you and help you know and help you to understand what is at the root or what is at the source of this delay in your life. And God wants the scripture says, Paul prayed that the eyes of our heart or the eyes of our understanding would be open so that we would know. And then we can deal with it. If we need to get in faith, if we need to get in obedience, if we need to get in our armor and fight, if we need to just get on our knees before the Lord and wait on God. But God wants to remove some frustration tonight and in some of your lives. And so I'm just going to pray a general prayer, and then we're going to be dismissed. And if anybody needs specific prayer tonight, we'll be glad to pray with you down here in the altars. Father, we just thank You, God, that we can trust You. And we thank You, God, that You're a good Father. And God, we thank You that we are Your sheep and we can hear Your voice. And we thank You that we're not led by circumstances, and we're not led by log jams, and we're not led by the voice of the enemy, but we're led by the Holy Spirit. And God, I just pray tonight in this place, people who have been facing situations that have come to a standstill or have slowed down, and they just haven't understood why. God, I pray tonight, God, that as we open our ears, that we might hear. God, that You would open our eyes, that we might see. God, so that we could be people who are led by the Spirit of God in every day and every way of our life. God, I pray that You would speak to hearts and lives. If that's you tonight, just tell the Lord, just say, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. God, speak to me. God, speak to me. And Father, that You would remove discouragement. Father, You would remove discouragement from people's lives tonight. And God, that You would bring encouragement. God, that we can repent. God, we can get in faith. God, we can redirect. God, we can trust You. God, we can humble ourselves before You. God, we can say, God, we can count it all joy because You're working in us. And God, we can trust You. Father, we love You tonight. We love You tonight. We love You tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.